We're in a series on Ecclesiastes. We're actually finishing up the book, but don't worry, I'll give you the Cliff's Notes version of where we've been. And so we're in chapter 12 right now. We're looking at wisdom for making the most of life, something that we all want to do. And this is what Solomon, one of the wisest people in the world, writes in the concluding chapter, in chapter 12, verses 9 and following, and he says this: "Not only was the teacher wise, but also imparted knowledge to the people. He pondered and searched out and set in order many proverbs. The teacher searched to find just the right words, and he wrote was upright and true. The words of the wise are like goads, the collected sayings like firmly embedded nails given by one shepherd. Be warned, my son or daughter, of anything in addition to them. Of making many books there is no end, and much study wearies the body. Now all has been heard, and here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all humankind. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil." May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. Well, this morning we continue, as I said, the series on Ecclesiastes, wisdom for making the most of life, and we're concluding this morning with one thing. First, I want to get started with something a little humorous. I heard about this faculty meeting at a prestigious university, and they're in the middle of this meeting, and an angel appears and looks at the dean and says, "For your unselfish and exemplary behavior, the Lord will grant you one of three wishes. You can either have infinite wealth, wisdom, or beauty." And without thinking, the dean said, "I want infinite wisdom." And the angel said, "Very well," and poof, it was done, and the angel was gone. And this dean stood there in this golden halo in the midst of these faculty members, and one of the colleagues said, "Well, say something brilliant." And so the dean stands there in a rather Socratic manner and says, "I should have taken the money." I know the seasoned faculty will appreciate that the most, but all of us are looking for some wisdom in life, aren't we? And we've been on this journey in wisdom, and so Solomon is reputed to be one of the wisest people in the entire world, and he was a rich ruler, he was successful, and he's on a journey to find wisdom and happiness and meaning in life. And aren't we all trying to find meaning and happiness and satisfaction in life? And so he begins with a search rather than with the answers. And I think most of us begin with a search rather than having all the answers. And so just to give you the Cliff's Notes version of where we've been, he started with a search. And it reminds us that all of us are on a search. We went last night with the youth group to Exploration Acres and went through the corn maze. And that is amazing. I don't know if you've been out there. But life is kind of like a maze sometimes. We're searching for the answers in life. And so Solomon begins with his search, and the first thing he looks in is academics and intellectualism. And he says, you know, there's a lot to be gained from learning, but if you think that's the meaning of life, you're just going to find it's chasing after the wind. In fact, he says, in much learning, there's much pain. Now, don't give up on your books, okay? There's lots of good things there. But if that's just going to give you peace of mind, he says, listen, it's chasing after the wind. And then he goes from academics and intellectualism to unbridled pleasure seeking. And he has his moment sort of in college life. And he looks and he finds a lot of pleasure seeking. But in terms of finding that is the answer to life and happiness, he says, no, this is just chasing after the wind. And then he looks after material things, and he looks in building projects, and he has vineyards, and he has not just one home, but many homes, and he has fame, and he has fortune, and in many respects, he has success that so many of us want. But he says, listen, it's just chasing after the wind. And he concludes with this in Ecclesiastes 2. He says, a person can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in their own toil. This too I see is from the hand of God. For without God, who can eat or find enjoyment? But to the person who pleases God, God gives wisdom and knowledge and happiness. In other words, if you just try to find your purpose and priorities in your own self, you'll never find it. But if you align your purpose and priorities with God, then all of a sudden you're going to find that you have happiness and you have wisdom in life, and all the simple pleasures of life give meaning. And then he moves from that to the seasons of life, and we found out for many of us that in addition to all his other accomplishments, Solomon had a number one hit on the pop charts in October of 1965, taken right from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, put to music by Pete Seeger, and Turn, 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 sung by the Byrds. And a lot of the young people, even my daughter, said, well, that's a really great song. Haven't heard it for a while, but there's some great truths in that piece of music I challenge you to listen to this afternoon. But he says, listen, life is full of seasons, and every season has its reason for the season. Now, sometimes those seasons are contrasting seasons. Some of those seasons are even painful seasons. He says, listen, learn to embrace the seasons of life. Learn there's a blessing in every season of life and learn the reason for that season. And then he also seems to imply that we need to learn to move on to the next season. And some of us get stuck in a season of life. He says, listen, there's a blessing in next season as well. And then he also says that we need to do the right thing. And in doing the right thing, we'll have happiness in each of the seasons of life. And, you know, in every season of life, we need to do the right thing to our neighbors. And when we do that, we're going to find there's a real season of goodness and happiness together. And then we moved on to the frustrations of life. And Solomon doesn't pull any punches. He says, listen, a lot of life has a lot of frustration, but you can allow those frustrations of life to either sort of center you on yourself in which you sort of implode, or you can allow them to lift your eyes towards God. And when you do, you're going to find that God is there in the midst of all that. And so he says that can lead us to wisdom. And wisdom in chapter 7 becomes the turning point of this great book on the wisdom of life. And he says that wisdom is experience plus reflection. And we probably think that Solomon really made a lot of mistakes early in his life. He was the son of a king. He might have even been a spoiled brat. But when his father, King David, passed away, he all of a sudden found himself in God's house. And God asked him anything that he wants, and he decides on wisdom. And God says, because you've chosen wisdom, you'll have everything else. And so Solomon probably reflected on all his mistakes, and then he found great wisdom. He began to seek out wisdom and to make good choices and reflect. And he says that you'll never be disappointed by wisdom. There's always blessing in wisdom. And he says that wisdom protects us and wisdom preserves us and wisdom provides for us. He says there's some insights in wisdom that aren't anywhere else. And we need to understand that God is sovereign, that God is over all, and that God is sensible. We can't always understand the meaning of what God has, but God has a blessing in the burden as well as the blessings of life. And God is there in every season of life. And then he says that God is also secretive, and that God has a plan and purpose for a life that we can find out, but we will never completely discern the ways of God. We need to walk by faith and not by sight, and in that sort of trusting relationship is a great secret to life. And then we moved on to the pathway of wisdom and find out that wisdom is sort of the road less traveled. And I love the story of that Stephen Covey says that, you know, so many of us are trying to climb the ladder of success so feverishly, and many times we reach the top of the ladder of success only to find that the ladder is leaning against the wrong wall. And Solomon says, listen, if you have wisdom in life, you can make sure that your ladder is against the right wall. And so there's a pathway to wisdom, and he gives us a number of sort of a guidepost to life, and he says you need to be able to value character above comfort. The journey of wisdom in life is not always easy, but value character above comfort. And he says you also need to value the future more than the past. I mean, learn from the past, but don't live in the past. Live towards the future. And then he says, if we're going to have wisdom, then we need to learn from life's losses without becoming embittered by them. And that's a tough lesson for most of us. And then he also says, in the part of that, he says, we also need to listen to wise counsel and value constructive criticism. And that's not easy. And then Solomon moves us to a chapter on passion in life. And he says, you know, life is fleeting. And one of the lessons of wisdom is to realize that however long that we live, this earthly life is finite. And therefore, we need to make the most of life. And in order to do that, we need to live with passion in life. Live with passion for the right things. And he says, listen, you need to be able to seize the day and make the most of it. And he says, we're to enjoy the simple pleasures of life. He says, we're to enjoy our spouse and to love them. Love them like it's your honeymoon. Take every day and make the most out of it. Love your kids and love your grandkids and make the most of life. And finally, he says that we're to live a life of wisdom, not foolishness in life. And some of us think, well, we have a season of foolishness. But he says, no, listen, live a life of wisdom. You never regret that. And then he begins chapter 11 and 12, his closing chapters, focusing on wisdom. And he begins in chapter 11 saying what you can do to make the most of your youth. And he says, listen, youth is fleeting. Make the most of your youth. And he says, listen, four things. Be happy. Enjoy your life. It's a season to be happy. And then he says, follow your heart. Youth is a time to discover your passions and see what you're good at. And even if you sort of hit against a wall sometimes and have a failure, that's a lesson in itself. So just follow your heart and find out what you're good at. And then he says, banish anxiety. It's a season where you sort of put aside worry. And then finally, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. In other words, love and honor and serve God, and you'll never regret your life, not in your youth and not later on in life. And then finally, we come to the conclusion here, which is one thing. So I hope that Cliff Notes version helps you. And in this great moment, he says, in the concluding chapter, he's focusing on the meaning of life. And I don't know if you're a fan of Queen, the great rock band, and one of the albums, Innuendo, Freddie Mercury, in the closing song says, does anybody really know what we're living for? And most of us at some point in life really struggle with that, or we wonder with that. And maybe it's in our youth, or maybe it's in a midlife crisis, or sometimes it's beginning of retirement even later on. And so Solomon has said, listen, all along, he calls himself the teacher, preacher, but really literally it means professor. Like every great professor, he asks great questions, and he also wants to take us on that journey. He's not just sort of showing us his knowledge. He's taking us on that search, his quest, his journey in life, and he challenges us to think along with him and find the reason for living. And he says this, not only was the teacher wise, but he also imparted knowledge to the people. He pondered and searched out and set in order many proverbs. The teacher searched to find just the right words, and what he wrote was upright and true. The words of the wise are like goads. Now, goads are sort of what you prod sheep with or cattle along the way of life, and they're sometimes sharp, but they get them going in the right direction in life. And he says, sometimes those sayings hurt, but if you take them to heart, they'll pull you back on the right path of life. And then he goes on to say, their collected sayings are like firmly embedded nails. They'll secure you in life, given by one shepherd. And I love the psalm, the 23rd psalm that you sung this morning. It was just beautiful, but we have to remember that Solomon's father was King David. And King David wrote the 23rd Psalm. And so Solomon's probably referring to the wisdom in Psalm 23. And he goes on, he says, this is this great summation of this book. He says this, now all has been heard, and here's the conclusion to the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the duty of all humankind. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it's good or bad. You know, sometimes when we view that word or read that word, fear of the Lord, we think of just sort of fear and quaking, but it really means awe or reverence. You know, to recognize God as the creator of all that is. And I don't know if you watched the news this week, and there was a lot sort of things that are, you know, give you pause and wonder about the world, but there's an amazing piece of news about two stars colliding. I don't know, did you see that? Two neutron stars. Now, neutron stars are about 6 miles wide, and yet they're 15 times the size of our sun, condensed down to that size, and they're amazing. And so, like it was 120 million years ago, these two stars collided in this huge explosion, and it set off a ripple in the gravitational field that Albert Einstein predicted. And so 120 million years ago, this happened, and we're just seeing the effects of it now. And you think, man, how vast is the universe? And sometimes we begin to think that we're the center of the universe. And God loves us, and each of us are a special creation. But, you know, when we realize that the center of the universe is God, and God is so infinite and with incredible majesty and engineering wonder and beauty put this whole universe together, and all of it has a plan and purpose, and we begin to have that sense of awe and wonder of God, only then do we find out who we are, and we realize that God has created each of us as sons and daughters of God. And God has a plan and purpose for our life. And so Solomon's saying, listen, if you think you're the center of the universe, then you're going to just collide with the walls of life. But if you recognize that God is our creator, and God has our purpose and plan in mind, and that God loves us, the one who created this whole world, then all of a sudden, when you put God at the center of your life, the center of the universe, and the center of your universe, then everything else in all of life will begin to line up, and you'll find that life itself is a beautiful gift from God, and then we find that there's pleasures in life. And it reminds me of what Jesus said. At one moment, he had one of the scribes who was in awe of his teaching come to him and said, Master, Rabbi, what's the greatest command of all the commands? And Jesus, without hesitation, said this. He quoted from Deuteronomy, and then he added a little in there, and he said this. The first command is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second command is this, You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And he said, All the law and all the prophets are summarized in this. Isn't that amazing? And it does go back to the Old Testament as we think of all the commands and the beginning of those commands, Moses gave the spirit of what that was. And it's exactly this. The Hebrew folks call it the Shema. So it's a prayer and it's also a command. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and all your strength, everything that you have. And when you do that, everything else will sort of line up, and you'll find out that when you find out that the Creator loves you, then you'll be filled with love for yourself. And all of us need some healing in our life, and we can only give love once we are full of love. And so we find God's love for ourselves, and in that love we also find the resource to love others as ourselves. And it's a beautiful sort of picture. And if you have that right, then everything else will fall into place. And Solomon's saying, listen, if you're looking everywhere else, there's lots of good things out there, but it's just chasing after the wind. But when you find God, all of a sudden everything else changes. And Augustine said it this way. He said, our hearts are restless until they find the rest in you. And it sort of aligns with what Solomon said about chasing after the wind and then finding God. And it's a beautiful sort of summation of all that. So in closing, when we think about the meaning of life and searching for happiness and meaning and satisfaction, Melville said this in his great classic Moby Dick. He said, Ecclesiastes is the truest book ever written. It's also one of the most confusing because when you read it, a lot of it is this searching that Solomon takes us on this journey. He said, everything is meaningless under the sun. But what he means by that phrase that's used repeatedly is if you're just looking for meaning in this life, where all the places that the sun touches, then you're not going to find any meaning there. But when you look in the face of eternity, then you find meaning. When you have it from God's perspective and put God at the center of your life, and all of a sudden everything else falls into place. And this is what he says. This is what I observe to be good, that it is appropriate for a person to eat, to drink, and to find satisfaction in their toilsome labor under the sun during the few days of life that God has given them, for this is their lot. Moreover, when God gives someone wealth and possessions and ability to enjoy them, to accept their lot, and to be happy in their toil, this is a gift of God. Life itself is a gift, and everything else is sort of a gift on top of that. But if you just look for meaning and purpose in those gifts, you'll never find it. As good as all those things are, as good as all the talents you have are. But once you put God at the center of your life, accept God as the one who loves you, and accept God's love, and love yourself, and love God, and find the ability to love others, then everything else becomes a gift, and it turns everything else around. There's pleasure in work. There's pleasure in even simple daily meals as you share that with those you love, and there you find the joy of living a life that's wise and doing the right thing and seeking peace and justice in all the world. And then you realize that life isn't a burden, but it's a gift. You know, he uses this phrase that I love, under the sun. And for those of us who follow Christ, we realize that there isn't meaning under the sun, but in the sun. Son of God, which is Jesus Christ, who came to show us the way of God's love and to reconcile us with our Creator. And so when we accept that, we accept God's life and God's gift of love, and we find the meaning and happiness and true satisfaction in life. I want to close with this story, and I love Michael Phelps, and he's been through a lot of ups and downs in life, and he had incredible success. Back in 2012, he retired for the first time. He retired with a lot of fame and a fair amount of fortune, a lot of success in what people thought was happiness, but he said that he wasn't happy. In fact, he had an identity crisis, as he called it, and he went into a downhill spiral. And in fact, he had trouble with drinking too much and in excess and had a number of DUIs. And so he checked himself into a substance abuse place in Arizona. And it was there that he began to read a book by Rick Warren called The Purpose-Driven Life. And all of a sudden, he found God, and he found God's purpose for his life, not in his fame and not in his fortune, not in his success. And in putting God first in his life, then his whole life was renewed. In fact, they began to call him Preacher Mike at this place. And so he came out of that with a renewed commitment, and he was striving for the 2016 Olympics, but he was striving with a whole new value system in his life. And he found himself that he was a mentor for younger athletes who often battle with success and think that their whole life is on one race, and so he was able to mentor them. And he finished in an incredible way. He finished with the most Olympic gold medals and medals of anyone in history. But more than that, he finished with a faith in Christ that guided him through all those things. And so we may never attain to the things he has, but each of us has gifts and talents that God has blessed us with. And we want to do our best in life. But may I suggest that if that's your only meaning in life, you'll never find it. But once you find your center and God's center of the universe, which is God's love for you, and accept that love and forgiveness and grace, then everything else will fall into place and you'll find happiness and meaning in life and satisfaction. And my challenge is to do that. Would you join me in prayer? Lord, sometimes we do find ourselves searching in all of life, and we just feel like it's chasing after the wind. But Lord, if we lean into you and allow even the difficult seasons of life to direct us upward to looking into your eyes and find your love for us in Christ Jesus our Lord, and accept your forgiveness and grace and love and mercy, then we can find a whole new life, a whole new meaning, happiness and purpose in life. And so help us to do that. Help us to share that with others and bless our lives so we can be a blessing to others. In the name of Christ Jesus our Lord, and all God's people said, Amen.